This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The world's most uplifting radio station, Joy 94.9.
The world's most uplifting radio station and Melbourne Queer Film Festival is the most important festival on the GLBTI calendar, in my opinion.
Oh, well, thank you, Max.
There you go. Maxwell Grattan, he's been here, he's gone now, we've talked about him. No. Maxwell has joined the Queer Film Festival as their new director, and with these things there's always, not always necessarily a new, absolutely new direction, but there's a change of focus and balancing the priorities. There we go, I sound like a bureaucrat. It is an important festival. I think it's most important because it's a window into our life. And, you know, a lot of people that come to the festival, you don't see anywhere else. You don't see anywhere else out and about in our community a lot of the time. And it's done that for decades. So I think it's great that the festival is still there. Tell us what your vision for it is, Maxwell, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, Becca, for those very generous words. I couldn't agree with you more that, you know, the festival is such a significant and important part of the, LGBTIQ, cultural calendar there. You know, having crossed from sports administration, one thing I've noticed is the real affection that people and members of the community have for the MQFF. I was, you know, actually just reflecting recently, had dinner with a good friend of mine, Jason, over a lovely steak, and he was saying that, people have a real relationship to film.
Yes.
And, you know, what it means to them directly. And I think Jason was absolutely correct in that there. And so looking at, my appointment, I'm very excited to be the new executive, director. Very much looking forward to continue, you know, the good work of the groundwork laid before us, before me. But ensuring that we continue to, you know, educate, challenge and entertain audiences, not just now, but for many years to come.
Well, I actually have a disclosure to make, and I should have made it at the start. I'm actually a sponsor of the documentary award in the festival, and I have been for a long time. I'm a life member of MQFF. And, you know, the reason I sponsor the documentary award is because so many awesome stories have been told by filmmakers, you know, in those very, in sometimes incredibly short films that don't get an airing elsewhere. And, you know, something like the festival gives them the opportunity to get that airing. It gives people an opportunity to see it. And this is one question I have for you, Maxwell, is a lot with you know, the increasing, our digital lifestyle is increasing every day. So a lot of the films that we will see at the festival or have seen at the festival in the past are available online. You know, whether they should be at no cost, you know, whether they're being illegally downloaded or whatever, that's a discussion for another day. But how do you, is it the experience of people coming together as a group but still as individuals to look at films that they possibly could watch somewhere else? Is that something that a festival offers that you can't get anywhere else?
No, that's absolutely right, Macca, and that is so true. So not only do we, you know, offer over 120 curated, offerings and programs and films every year and shorts, as well. But the unique thing about the MQFF and, you know, festivals in general is that, you know, you're able to come together and celebrate film. Mm. Not only are you able to just watch the actual offerings, but we have workshops. We'll have parties.
To discuss them, yeah.
We'll have, you know, Q&A panels.
Terps and Tucker, little nibble and a sip.
Nibble and a sip. And like you say, it's also the beauty of being able to connect with other people, being able to see a lot of your friends and colleagues around, people from the community, but like you said earlier on, that you might not see anywhere else. And notwithstanding the increase of, you know, the digitalization and the ability to get those online, there are some films that, you know, are best watched within an audience.
Yeah, I agree.
That, you know, you really pick up the vibe, the excitement of it. That, yeah, you know, for example, a comedy might still be funny at home, but it's not going to be the same as when you're, you know, in the moment with the crowd. And that's an experience that, you know, I encourage everyone to come and experience at the MQFF this year.
It's an interesting festival because some of the films that have been screened in the past
I've just seen a very...
oh, no, I can actually look at it. It was... I was executive producer of a film Liz and Deb made many years ago. And I think I'm allowed to say the name. SBS screened it.
Did they?
Yeah.
Is this you're multi-talented little chap, aren't you?
I know, this is like a story we don't know.
It's and it was screened, and the name of the film...
No, you can't say the name of the film. Well, you can give us most of it, but you can't give us the last word.
I'm okay. It's going to be one of those beeps.
My C something.
Beep.
My Quim. There you go.
That's toilet humour.
But, you know, that film, I remember when that, you know, and it was... People may had all sorts of ideas what it was about. Have a look at it and you'll know what it's about. I'm not going to tell you. But that film debuted at MQFF. It was picked up by SBS. It was quite a success internationally. I think a lot of the reason people watched it was because of the title. And I remember watching newsreaders, you know, particularly on our wonderful SBS at the time, you know, saying, oh, we're now going to screen... And, you know, you could imagine, you know, poor old, you know, spinsters in Warrnambool clutching their pearls.
Disrupting, that's what you were doing.
Disrupting. But that film is an example, and there have been many, many others, including some incredibly awful Japanese anime that I've seen over the years. Just ask Lisa Daniel about that.
So, Maxwell, what can we expect out of this this season's show?
Next one.
Yeah, what's going to be on? What's the highlights?
Yeah, no, look, we are going to obviously, you know, have our... breadth of offerings, as you pointed out, Macca, it's very important not just to have, you know, the films that necessarily would go out and, you know, have, you know, commercial releases afterwards, but also to explore some of those, you know, productions and offerings that may not necessarily get an opportunity to be shown anywhere else. And it's part of our mantra, you know, to entertain, to challenge, and to also educate people. So, look, the festival this year will be from the 15th of March to the 26th of March. At Acme, at Nova, and also at Kino Cinemas. There, so we'll Spiro. Actually, we've got the some pre-release titles coming up at Midsummer. So I'm not quite sure if I can tell too much right now. But
we're trying to get a sneaky preview.
It's already Chicks Talking Footy have already given us a bit of an idea what they're doing on the 17th. So you can let's put it this way: are there a Give us the name of a couple of features of the films in the festival that you really like and that you're really proud are in the festival. How's that?
For this year, look, again, I'll leave the suspense, actually. Wait till Midsummer. I encourage everyone to come to the tent and get
these pamphlets. Give us one. Turn his microphone off.
No. Are there any themes, though? Any themes for the program this year?
Yeah, no, so look... The themes are we're actually trying to, as well, notwithstanding, Australian content, because we like to support that there. We have, our usual Australian shorts packages that will be going up there as well. I also know that we've tried to get as many, good quality international films there as well, and trying to get some directors, down there as well. There's not a specific theme per se so far coming through this year, as opposed to just celebrating the breadth and depth of, you know, some of the content we've been able to secure from overseas.
I'd like to find out a little bit more. I mean, I know that there's always the desire for the festival to increase its awareness across the broader community. And the success of the film Call Me By Your Name, which is on at, I believe, Nova at the moment, has been incredibly well received. And I was wondering about hope that films like that, which the mainstream is actually able to see, will encourage people to go to MQFF.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, actually. What a terrific film. And the dialogue in that film was just amazing. I remember watching it with my former partner at the time at MIF. I think it's terrific to see that, LGBTIQ content like that is actually going out there and getting, mainstream and commercial releases, because what it does do is further, you know, educate and show our lives on screen in there. And it's a great way to celebrate and, appreciate.
That is wonderful news.
Now, we've run out of time, Maxwell, unfortunately, and only because you won't tell us any secrets as well.
That's because I'm trying to get people to come to the
launch. I know, you're trying to get them to come to the launch. Melbourne Queer Film Festival, which basically starts on the 15th of March to the 26th of March. You need to go. You need to buy a ticket. Even better, be a member. Support it. Just imagine. It's just like Joy. If it wasn't there, what would you do?
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.